Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. It's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Please stand with us as we worship.
Would work.
To invite all the kids who are not already on the floor to come down, and we're gonna use our palm branches to make a little parade around the auditorium during this next song. So all the kids come down, and there's no age restrictions on waving palm branches, so you can come down even if you're an adult. That's fine as well. And as they come down, hear this call to worship. King Jesus come, King Jesus. Son of God, Son of Man, Messiah. Hail, King Jesus, King of all. Recall the words of the scripture. A great crowd who had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and they went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. In praise we adore you, King Jesus. Enter our hearts today as you entered Jerusalem long ago, and lead us by faith in the way everlasting. Amen. Let's have a parade.
Hosanna!
to extend your hand as we bless these children. I know we normally pray, but since it's me doing it, I'd like to sing a blessing over these children.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever.
One more time.
The Lord.
Kids, church kids, you can go back to your parents. You're staying in the service. Little lights, you can go out to my left. You can take the palm branches with you if you really like.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you, kids, for being so enthusiastic as you went round waving those palm branches. And thank you, worship team, for leading us in that worship. It's usually the person who does the announcements who gets to do the blessing over the children. You can be very thankful they didn't ask me to do that today, because Janessa does a much better job. But we're glad to have you here with us. And if you're new, we welcome you, and we ask that you complete a Connect card, which you'll find in the seat in front of you, so that we can get contact with you, and you can just tell us who you are. And if you're online, we welcome you too, and just chat with other people online so that we know who you are, who you're with, and we can just interact with you. We want to get to know you, and we want you to feel that this is a place where you are known as well. So we have a few announcements. One of them is about New Life Connects. These are casual classes with Pastor Nathan for those who are interested in baptism, profession of faith, membership, and the inner workings of New Life. They're great classes for those new to this community and who want to know more, or those who already call this church home. The class starts April 14th for 3 consecutive weeks, and it will follow the Sunday service from 12 to 2, and lunch will be provided, so you can have lunch for 3 weeks in a row, not worry about what you're going to have to get ready. So please contact the office if you're interested in joining this class. Okay, so tonight at midnight, the registration closes for the women's conference. You don't have to stay up that late to register. You can do it right away after church in the foyer, because Sam will be out there taking registrations. So what is this conference? Well, New Life, Gateway, Trinity, and Living Hope are teaming up for a women's conference, and it will be hosted here at New Life. It costs $40, only $40. Grace Fox is an excellent speaker, and you get to hear her a couple of times, and also a choice of 2 breakout sessions. So it's all well worth it. So if you can, please sign up after church if you haven't already signed up. So we're now entering Holy Week. This is the week from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And during this time, our church is going to reflect on the theme, In Remembrance of Me. Today, for Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus' triumphal entry as King. at the Good Friday service, which will be Friday, March 29th at 6 p.m., we will contemplate the sacrifice that Jesus made. And then on Easter Sunday, which will be the 31st, at 10 a.m., we will celebrate the great hope that Jesus brings. Following Jesus' command to do all this in remembrance of me, it recalls a time of sadness of Jesus' sacrifice, but it also anticipates the great celebration when we are joined with Jesus in his kingdom. So it will be on Easter Sunday. We usually do it Good Friday, but this time it will be Easter Sunday, and we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. Everyone is welcome to all of these services, and we anticipate the joyful banquet of the Lord. Easter is always a great occasion to invite someone who doesn't regularly attend church. Well, this is the fourth Sunday of the month, and that's always a Sunday when we take up an offering for the missionaries, and we sort of focus and remember the missionaries a little bit. And we've got some good news. Fred got his visa. We've been praying that Fred would get a visa, so he's got it for a whole year. And then another thing that's happening, and it's, you know what happens in the summer, some of you do because you've been involved, and we go to Esperanza. Esperanza is right on the far side of Vancouver Island on the rugged west coast, rather remote place, and it's an outreach to the First Nations and the other local people that live there. They have camps in the summer for the children, and they have different things during the year for the local community. And just a Christian outreach to these people. And we go there to help them with maintenance and just tidying up and painting and all kinds of different jobs. And also have a whole lot of fun because although we work hard, we also have time to relax and enjoy that beautiful West Coast, kayak, swim, play games, have campfires and so on. And it's a wonderful outreach to like families, singles, seniors, everybody's welcome. This year we would like you to sign up early if you're coming. The reason for this is the ferries. We need to make sure we've got room, that the ferries will have room for us, and so we want to book ahead. And I found out when we had a committee meeting this last week that if we book our ferries and pay for them now, we save $840. And this is a church where we like to save money. So if you are thinking of going, please sign up. All the information's in the Encourager, or if you want more information, you can get it from the office, or I will be out by the coffee table after, and you can ask me questions there. So please consider this mission outreach. You don't have to be able to do major work. Any sort of work is accepted there. And children are welcome too. And so, yeah, I'm by the coffee table, which also means we're selling coffee, which helps our missions. So let's, the ways you can give your offering today are listed on the screen behind me. And you can, or you can bring it to the offering boxes, which are up at the front on either side. So let's pray for the offering right now. Lord, we thank you that we can bring our gifts to you. You are a God who gives us so much. You give us time to contemplate and celebrate like we have today with the children, waving those branches and proclaiming Hosanna. And we thank you that that's something we can remember and just say thank you, Lord, for saving us, for being there for us, for having the courage to go down that hill into Jerusalem, knowing what you had to face. And we thank you for our missionaries who are prepared to go out to difficult places, maybe walk the lonely road so that they can bring your word to others. We thank you that Fred has a visa so he can continue his work for another year. We thank you for those who work on that remote west coast of the island, and that our opportunity to go and work alongside them. We pray, Lord, that if you're speaking to us and encouraging us to get involved, we will listen to your voice and respond. And Lord, we just ask that you will accept our offerings now and accept the love of our hearts. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Okay, so now it's time for the fellowship time. 3 minutes, and I think we'll try to keep it to 3 minutes. Poor Nathan gets standing up here and we just go on talking, ignoring him completely. So we'll try to be good today. Just ask each other a question about how they're going to celebrate Easter. What is special about Easter and this week to them? So enjoy the rest of the service and thank you for having me.
All right, good morning. Welcome again to New Life. All right. Please take a seat. Awesome. Wow. What a time of worship we're having. It's just thrilling to be able to see the kids parade around and maybe just give you a little bit of imagination of what it might have been like on that day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and that parade occurred. Everyone's shouting, "He saves! He saves!" So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And before we do that, and before we go to God's Word, let's pray together. Almighty God, you are our food for life, and that's why we're here, to worship you and to be nourished once again by your grace, by your love, by your mercy, and by your forgiveness. Renew us, O God. Renew our hearts and our minds. Transform our very lives to be more like you, so that as we go into this week, God, we may be salt and light in this world. God, we're worried about the world around us. So many bad things happening, so many things that, even terrify us, and other things that just fill us with such despair. God, the violence that is around us, the poverty that is around us, the desperation of peoples finding a home around us. God, we pray for your mercy. And we pray, God, that you will fill us with your love that can be extended to the people around us. Oh God, be gracious. We pray that you will restore us to yourself, and that even in this gathering, that we will be strengthened to be your faithful servants, giving praise to you for the salvation that you have brought to us, that you have given to us, that you have brought to this world. And so may our light shine, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as was mentioned, it's the beginning of Holy Week. Holy Week is a week in the church calendar in which we remember Christ as he enters Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday and then continues on the road of suffering towards the cross on Good Friday, and then the celebration of Easter on next Sunday. And so during this Holy Week, we want to reflect on the words, "in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. Maybe those words are entirely familiar to you. You've heard them over and over and over again, and you just thought, well, that's just what the Bible says. So we want to take this week to reflect on that. So in this service, and then Good Friday service and Easter service, we're going to reflect on those words, "in remembrance of me." What are we doing when we're responding to those words? Command of Jesus, "do this in remembrance of me." What are we doing? By those words, Jesus began the practice of the church that continues today. And in that practice, we remember that Jesus died for us and that he continues to live for us, and that we will anticipate when he comes back. And so on this Palm Sunday, the start of Holy Week, We're reflecting on how Jesus gave his body as a sacrifice for us. He gave his body, his physical body, he gave it up for a sacrifice. You would think that the God of the universe could come up with a better plan than having to make that kind of actual physical sacrifice. I mean, couldn't he just kind of rearrange things up in heaven somewhere and presto, then things are different in the world? What is it about Jesus' body given for us that we remember? We remind ourselves that at the Last Supper, Jesus took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." In John 6, in the Gospel of John, fourth gospel in the New Testament, chapter 6, we get a story where Jesus was teaching a crowd of people, and these people also were gathering perhaps the year before for a Passover, and a Passover festival, and they had gathered to hear Jesus teach and to see him do some of the miracles that everybody had been talking about. This guy was doing some crazy stuff, and people were drawn to that. In the middle of that, as Jesus is teaching, he notices that people are getting hungry. And so he turns to his disciples and he says, "You got to feed them. Just go ahead and feed them." The disciples are like, "Yeah, we got nothing. And a little boy, probably a budding entrepreneur, said, "Hey, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Go ahead, disciples, take those." I wondered if they paid for them. He said, "Take those and feed the crowd." And so they distributed the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and 12 basketfuls remained after all the food had been distributed. It's an amazing thing. God multiplied the bread and fed everyone, and everyone was amazed. They were like, "Whoa, this is what we came for. This is amazing." Many people were impressed. They're excited. They're excited that this Jesus could be the long-awaited Messiah, the one who would free them from Roman oppression, who would give them their life back. And the next day, the crowd chases down Jesus once again. In the meantime, overnight, he had walked across the Sea of Galilee, walking on water. Of course, nobody saw that. And then we get this, John chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. When they found him, because they didn't know where he went, he was just trying to escape the crowd. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then they asked him, "What must we do to do these works that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "Well, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it's written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Oh, sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So bread was a familiar analogy for the Jewish people. It was a symbol, and they knew it historically. Bread was at the center of this Passover festival that people following Jesus were gathering into Jerusalem for this Passover festival. It reminded them of the time when God freed the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, and they were to prepare bread for their exodus, unleavened bread, bread that you didn't need to take the time to let it rise. You just made a flat bread, and you were ready to go, ready to leave. God had prepared them for that. And so it became known as the Passover meal, when God was going to pass over all of the people of Egypt, killing the firstborn of each household. But of the Jewish people, those who had painted blood on their doorposts, God would pass over that household. And it was that Passover festival for which all the people were gathering as Jesus spoke about being the bread of life. People made that connection, and we can too. Bread also symbolized God's providential care for the Jews. It reminded them of how God provided for them while living in the desert for 40 years. And that's what they bring up in front of Jesus. Manna. When the people grumbled, having been rescued from slavery in Egypt, and God led them into the desert, and there was no food in the desert, then God miraculously supplied them with this manna, this wonderful sustenance that descended from the heavens each morning. And they could gather up enough for each day. And then the next morning, God would send it again. And day by day, the Israelites learned to depend on God for their very life. So the feeding of the crowd of 5,000, you can see, reminded people that maybe, just maybe, God was up to something here. Bread. A miracle of feeding 5,000. Who is this guy? What's he really up to? And their hearts and minds were filled with expectation for a deliverer. Filled with expectation. And so here's the question for us. Do we have that expectation? As we gather here and we sing our songs and we listen to a sermon and we give our gifts of offering and we pray together, do we have any kind of expectation for a deliverer, one who would deliver us? For most of us, life is, well, pretty good. Do we need a deliverer? From what? We need to ask ourselves that question. Do I need a deliverer? Do I need a savior? Do I need rescue? That's the question that's planted in the crowd's mind. That's the question that ought to be planted in our minds as we follow Jesus on that road to the cross. Do I need a savior? Jesus says, He's the bread of life. And we would agree. Jesus is the bread of life. He's our deliverer. He's our savior. We've gotten so used to that language, perhaps we've stopped expecting someone to save us. But that deliverer is what the people around Jesus believed too, that Jesus could be that one to deliver them. Except that there's an unmistakable confusion here in this passage of John chapter 6. An unmistakable confusion that's going on in the minds of the people with respect to what Jesus is actually up to. First of all, we get the question right at the beginning of our passage. When they found him on the other side of the lake, when they found Jesus, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? That's a pretty simple question, don't you think? When did you get here? Was it last night? Was it right after you fed the 5,000? When was it? Was it just this morning? How fast can you walk around the lake? Nobody, or did you have motor on that boat? Or was it a boat? We didn't. When? It's an easy question. Except that the very next verse, Jesus doesn't answer it. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed. It's not telling us when. He's telling the people why they're after him. when Jesus says, work for food that won't spoil, you guys. You're after me because you're just, you had your fill, and you just, you want more. You want more bread. You want more from life. You want more stuff. You want life to be better. Jesus says, don't work for food that'll spoil. And so the people quickly ask, oh, well, what kind of work do we need to do then? And Jesus' simple answer is not what they were expecting. The work that you're expected to do is to believe in the Son of God. Well, now the people are back to asking for a sign. Oh, well, if we're supposed to believe in the Son of God, then you should give us a sign so that we're sure that you're the one. When in fact, Jesus had just given them a sign. He had fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread. But they refused to see that sign in the bread and only saw the bread in the sign. See how confused they were? And when Jesus assures the people that God would indeed provide them bread for life, then suddenly the people say, give us a constant supply of that. Give us a constant supply. Just keep it coming. To which Jesus then finally says, it's me. I am the bread of life. But for the people, that's just not enough. And I wonder, as we go about living our lives, our Christian lives, I wonder if we're sometimes asking God, yeah, I know you're my Savior, but I need more. I want more bread. I want more stuff in my life. I want a better life. For the people, Jesus saying he's the bread of life is just not quite enough. Jesus can't be both the deliverer and the deliverance that the people are looking for. He can't be both our Savior and the salvation we're looking for. It just doesn't compute in our mind. It makes us confused. It can't be enough that Jesus is our freedom. And that is where our unbelief lies. Oh, we believe Jesus is the deliverer. And what we're expecting him to deliver is not Jesus himself, but is something else. We want Jesus merely to bring us those things that we want the most. But when Jesus says he's the bread of life, he is our freedom. He's our salvation. The Savior is our salvation. Christ alone. Christ alone. See, our trouble with believing is that we don't think it's real. We don't think it's real. We think it's just something we need to have a thought in our head about. We live our lives as though believing is remote. It's like, yeah, that's out there, but then I got the rest of my life to live. Believing then becomes tenuous. It becomes uncertain. It becomes unreliable, and the people scream for a sign, and we do too. Are we sure? Do we put our confidence in what we believe? Or do we say, well, yeah, I believe. Of course I believe. But I got the rest of my life that I got to be in charge of. See, after Jesus explains that he's the bread of life and that deliverance is not only by him, but also in him, the people give up on Jesus. So towards the end of that chapter, in verse 41, we read this. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, right? So here you get Jesus feeding 5,000 people with five loaves of bread, and suddenly they're amazed. They're like, whoa, this guy's amazing. And in verse 15, we get Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. They wanted to make him king. They really thought he would deliver them. Then Jesus explains he's the bread of life, that he is not only the one to deliver salvation, but he is their salvation. And they go, and they began to grumble. They grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. To their ears, that was ridiculous. Blasphemy even. And on Palm Sunday, we're reminded of that same scenario when people crowded around Jesus and they're anxious to welcome a king, and they lay down their coats even before Jesus, riding on just a humble little donkey. And they want to make him king. And in 5 days, we'll gather here and reflect on the fact that then the people turned around and hung him on a cross. Jesus is saying that he's not only their Savior, but their salvation. And they're unwilling to believe that. Unwilling to put their trust in Jesus. Unwilling to understand. Or perhaps they understood too well. And perhaps we do too. We understand all too well that the salvation that we're looking for is mediated and accomplished through the very physical body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says that he's the bread of life, he's suggesting a relationship with him that is more than believing something to be true. More than just a head game for us. It's believing in him. It's trusting him. It's belonging side by side with him. It's being in him, or rather, he in us, in us. That's a pretty close relationship. That's a relationship that's more than what we might bargain for. An intimacy that we're not ready for. Or an intimacy that perhaps we wouldn't even want to have Jesus in us. That's a relationship that's maybe a little too close for comfort. But that's the relationship that Jesus suggests. And it even gets ugly to our ears, no less than to the ears of Jesus' original audience. Jesus suggests this extreme relationship when later on in the chapter he says in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, my physical body, which I will give for the life of the world. In verse 54, a few verses later, he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Does that make you uncomfortable? Does me. If not just plain weird. Whoever, verse 56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Seems outrageous. I suspect if I was in that crowd, I would have hightailed it out of there. This guy's crazy. This guy's nuts. But Jesus is making an analogy to food as though his life, his very body, his presence in this world can course through your veins, can course through your body, become part of you, nourish you, sustain you for life everlasting. That's how real Jesus is in our lives. He's not just real in your head. Jesus is making an analogy to food to nourish us. His body, part of our body, part of our very being, transforming us into Christ-likeness. Like the food we eat to keep us alive, we feed on Jesus to give us life. Again, Jesus says, just as the living Father, verse 57, just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Are you ready for that kind of remembrance? Are you ready for that kind of relationship with Jesus next Sunday when we'll take the bread and the juice on Easter Sunday and hear the words, take, eat, remember and believe. Take, drink, remember and believe. Are you willing? Are you willing? Maybe you've become too comfortable with feeding yourself. It's too easy to feed on a comfortable home. It's too easy to feed on a cozy family. It's too easy to feed on leisure travel. Are you willing to feed on Jesus because he's enough for your life? Are you willing to feed on Jesus because he is all you need for life? Are you willing to feed on Jesus because he is your life? It's time for action. I want to invite you. The band is going to come up at this time, and they're going to play, and you can sing along just to catch your breath. And then I'm going to invite some of my prayer partners to come up here, some of the elders and fellow pastors, and I want them to come up here, and they'll distribute bread to you. Bread. And I want you to be able to take a bun. There are buns. It's like a big chunk of bread this time, all right? Because God's grace is so big. And then use it as a testimony to say, I'm going to feed on Jesus. Take a big old bite from that bun. Well, maybe before you do that, maybe break a piece off and hand it to someone else, because the gospel of Jesus is to be shared, and it is to be shared with joy. It's to be shared with laughter. This is a good thing. The grace of God extended to you to nourish you. And I'm inviting you to make that a testimony by taking a bun from one of the baskets. If you need one of us to pray with you, for that kind of commitment to say, man, I haven't surrendered my life to Jesus like that ever before. I want you to do that today. And we invite you, and we'll pray with you that you can receive God in that way, that you can take Jesus and feed on him so that he is your life. Let's pray together. Almighty God, pray that you'll give us courage, God, to draw close to you, knowing full well that you are closer than we are to ourselves. God, you are in us. And for those of us, God, who are convicted this morning that, whoa, I haven't made myself that close to Jesus, but I want to. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will enter into us. That your Spirit will enter into us this morning. God, so that you are our life and that we can go from this place living the life of Jesus as a testimony to your reign, to your glory, to your victory, to your freedom. We pray in Jesus' name.
Your very word.
Says, I am the bread of life. And so you've been fed. Take Jesus into your life, and live the life of Jesus this week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of you always. Amen. Let's sing together, Amazing Grace.